A lot of people have said that they were not able to make it, and Gary Clark was in town for most of the week, and he had a family crisis at home. Several other people have called to say that they weren't gonna make it, or something wrong with it. All right, we're all set to go. Each year, for my part of the summer school, I take a topic from the Rosicrucian philosophy, one small topic, and talk about it for a whole week. And the first year, this is our fifth year already, the first year we talked about building the etheric soul body, which is probably the most important work of the Rosicrucian Fellowship. In the next year, we talked about working with desire, how we deal with the desire body, and the history of the problems we have with that. And then the next year, we talked about spiritual cycles. We spent 3 days breaking down the life cycle, and then we looked at the cycle of introversion and extroversion. There's a whole section in the cosmic conception about that. And last year, we talked about consciousness. What does it mean to be conscious? How is consciousness awakened? And things of that order. What we do is paralleling the philosophy talks, there are also 5 astrology talks. In the first year, it was the astrology of the vital body, and then the next year was the astrology of the desire body. And then we spent the whole week, when we talked about cycles, we talked about the lunation cycle, which Max Heindel talks about many times. And last year we talked about the different flavors of consciousness that are given by the planets. We went through the full spectrum of it. Now this year, what we're going to be talking about in the philosophy talks are spiritual exercises. We're going to talk about all of the Rosicrucian exercises, and we're going to talk about exercises in general. Now, in the astrology part, we're going to be talking about exercises in a different way. Exercises are what we as spiritual students use to change our consciousness. They are tools for changing our consciousness, for waking up, or for developing different qualities of consciousness. It's like the tools that we use in other things in life. If we want to have a garden, we use first a spade to dig the garden. And we use a hoe at another time, or we use a rake or a sickle, depending on what we want to do. They are different tools, and each tool works on a different principle. And in astrology, the astrological aspects are the tools that are used to get things done. And so we're going to spend the whole week talking about each of the aspects in a rather peculiar way. Now, in order to do this, we have to review the elements of astrology. First of all, we have the signs. And the signs are like fields of attitude. They each have a flavor, they each have an outlook, they each have a character. They're all parallel to each other. No one sign is better than any other sign, but each one gives a different point of view. In fact, this is why we have 12 people on a jury panel. The idea is so that we have 12 points of view, so that there's little possibility of making a mistake in administering justice. So if we look at the quality, for example, of the signs are like the grape juice or the pineapple juice or the carrot juice or whatever like that. It has a particular quality to it. But in order to drink the juice, we have to have a form to put it in. And so we have the houses. And the houses represent forms of experience. Visited by cats later on. And if we're really lucky, we'll have a squirrel or a bird come flying. Yeah. And the houses represent forms of experience, forms of opportunity. Like you have an opportunity to make money, or an opportunity to lose money, or an opportunity to be professional, or an opportunity to just be relaxed and be at home. And those are what the houses represent. So the relationship between the signs and the houses is like the relationship between the grape juice and the glass. One is a form that receives the spiritual quality from the other. Now, in order for that to happen, someone has to pour the juice into the glass. And that's where planets come in. Planets are focusing agents. And in order for them to focus the signs into the houses, they have to have something in common with both signs and houses. The signs represent spiritual qualities. The houses represent material opportunities. And this is why Elmenbacher, who wrote some very beautiful books, all of which are published by the Rosicrucian Fellowship, says that planets are people. This is something that you always want to remember. Every planet in your chart represents one or more people, and every person in your life represents one or more planets, usually one especially. And the one that you always remember is your Saturn person. It's the person who brings you down and who blocks you or whatever. You remember who that person is. Everybody likes the Jupiter person. So this is, planets are like people. In our consciousness, especially when we're being creative, we're like the gods. We're divine. We have both sign qualities. But in our form, we're like the creatures. Biologists don't even separate us from the animals. It's like, so we've got one foot in heaven and one foot in earth, and therefore the planets are perfect for focusing the signs into the houses. But there's one distinct difference. Each of the planets is a specialist. Mercury is like pure thinking, and Venus is like pure loving. So they specialize it. So they're like monomaniacal human beings. What we're trying to get to, the aspects. The aspects are the tools for getting things done. And so each tool functions in a different way. For example, the conjunction is like a needle. It brings everything to a point, and it pierces through, and it makes a breakthrough in that fashion. But the way we're going to look at planets in these talks is as tools of consciousness. And there are different ways that we can focus and utilize our consciousness. So we're going to look at them in a little bit more abstract way. It's the way things get done, because, you know, the aspects are geometric relationships. And in the geometry of our consciousness, the relation of one thing to another produces one kind of consciousness, whereas if you change the geometry just a little bit, you get a different kind of consciousness. And those are what we're going to look at. The aspects are probably the most important part of astrology. If you read Max Heindel very carefully, especially in questions and answers, if you're trying to determine the relative strength of the planet, you determine it on the basis of the aspects. The more planets and the more aspects a planet has, the stronger it's going to be, especially if those aspects are very exact. The more exact the aspect is, the more decisive it is going to be in terms of its effect in consciousness. Now, we're going to do this in a very unusual way. We're going to look at gyres. This is an example of a gyre. It is a gyre of one. A gyre is a turning circle. It's like in the great big ships that go on the ocean. They have gyroscopes. They have these great big flywheels that spin in them, and they make their own field of gravity. They stabilize the ship. Because, you know, if you ever had a little toy gyroscope, they're quite amazing. I got one somewhere. I should have brought it on. But a gyre is a spinning wheel, and it is a way that you can relate geometry to arithmetic, numbers to geometric objects. Now, if just picture a spot on this wheel to the right, in order for it's exactly the same as size as this, so that if this goes around, it'll go around once, and this point will always meet this point. This is called a gyre of one. And it shows that each circle, which is representative of the spirit, the unmanifest spirit, the universal spirit, is always like the circle. It's without beginning, it's without end, and every place is always as close as every other place. And so the triangle represents the manifest spirit, the threefold spirit, and we'll talk about that on about Wednesday. So this is a gyre of one. And in a gyre of one, when you have something that one wheel goes around another so that it exactly meets point for point, the two circles are identical. And so when we're talking about the number one, there's only one place that they meet. And when we're talking about the number one, we're talking about identity. And when we're talking about the conjunction, it means that two planets are brought to one place. There is a kind of unity in them. There is a quality of identity. So this is what we're going to look at. Today we're going to look at the gyre of one. Tomorrow we're going to look at the gyre of two, and then three, and then four, and then we skip all the way to six, because they relate to the basic five aspects: the conjunction, the opposition, the trine, the square, and the sextile. All right. This is going to take very short. These are going to be very short talks. It should be no more than an hour. And I'll give somebody a sledgehammer so that they can clobber me when I'm ready to talk, because I have a way of talking too much, I guess. Now, what we're going to do is not really good astrology. We're going to look at the horoscopes of famous people. And we're going to, the horoscopes are selected because they show what we are trying to get at. They're special cases. Some of them are famous for being good people, some for being bad people. But we're going to only look at one thing in the horoscope and not the whole horoscope. Sometimes we'll say other things as sidelong things, but it's not really doing astrology. Like in a real astrology class, we spend as much as 16 hours in class on one horoscope. And that is that way so that you can really get into the character and understand it and appreciate it and all the things that it works with. Astrology is like the universe. And the universe has the word una in it. It means one thing. Everything is in everything. You cannot know about anything in the cosmos without in some way knowing all about the entire cosmos. In some schools, it is a spiritual exercise that you take an object and you study that object, and by studying that one object, you can understand its relationship to everything else in the cosmos. This is the way unity is maintained. It is very important for our consciousness to not focus on separation. When we have specific things to do, then we focus on separation. But if we really want to come to wisdom, if we really want to come to understanding, we have to realize that everything is one. And because everything is one, any person can know anything, because it's all connected together. Because what happens a lot of times is we stump ourselves and we close off our own intuition. And we do that by thinking, I don't know that, I don't have any experience with that. Whereas if we trust the intuition in ourselves, we know that in ourselves we are connected to every other thing in the cosmos. And with that kind of experience, we can know anything. So, astrology represents the cosmos. This is the astrological mandala. It's not complete. I don't have the planets on there. I've got the planets already put in, and I don't have the aspects on here. But this is a symbol of the entire universe. The signs in the houses are aligned with each other, and if we had the planets, they would all be in their home positions, and all of the aspects would be as we needed to put them in there. But you can't know anything about the signs without also at the same time knowing something about the houses, because the houses are analogous to the signs in that, like, the first house is Aries, and the first sign is Aries, and it represents the start of things. It represents an attitude of initiation. It represents when you try to get something going. The first house represents the beginning of life, your infancy or your early childhood, and all of those things that happen at those times. So, there's an analogy. So when you know something about the first sign, you know something about the first house. When you know something about Aries, you know something about Mars. Everything is all connected together. And therefore, this applies also to the aspects. The aspects are related to the other elements, to the signs, to the houses, and to the planets. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at each of the aspects, one aspect a day, and we're going to planetize them. That is, we're going to see how each aspect is ruled by a planet or two planets, and then we're going to look at those two planets in aspect as classics. And we're going to look at some of the lessons that each aspect in its classic sense is known by. All right, let's begin with the number one, the conjunction. Now, the number one is a very interesting number. In fact, in the mystery schools of Plato, they didn't even consider one a number. They considered oneness, that ness, it was something that was everything and more. You could not make it you could not numerize it. Therefore, the number one represents universality. Now, the circle represents universality. It represents everything. There is that famous statement that has come out at various times in history, that God is like a circle whose is every radius, and whose center is everywhere, all at the same time. So that this, the presence of spirit is everywhere. How does the Psalms of David say, wherever I go, you are there. And wherever you go with your consciousness, that unity is there. And this oneness is self. When you understand yourself, your inner being, it's the same thing as God. It is identity. In the same way that the two circles are identical, we in spirit are identical to God. We may have differences of manifestation. We can't say that we're equal in potency or unfoldment to the universal spirit, but in spirit, we are like God. Therefore, the primary ruler or the big ruler of the conjunction is the sun. Because the sun represents everything. All of the other planets are manifestations of something within the sun. But when the circle is focused, it has a center. That is when you find a location for it, or if you want it to be somewhere. It's not enough that it's everywhere. We need it somewhere. You know, we need the sun. The planets outside need the sun, and it has to be focused. That focal agency is what the conjunction represents. It represents bringing something to a point. And that bringing to a point is what the conjunction is like. It is a concentration. So all of the light in the sun is concentrated, and it gets concentrated on one point. And we all know that that one point is represented by Saturn. So we say that classically, the two rulers, of the conjunction are the sun and Saturn. The sun represents the unity that is everywhere at the same time, and the focal point is represented by Saturn. Like in the garden out here, at the end of the year, the whole experience of the plant and all of its past incarnations are focused into one point, one seed, and that one seed carries everything. Carries the whole history of things. So that's the way we're going to look at horoscopes. We're going to look at horoscopes that have the sun conjoined Saturn, and hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun with it. These are the horoscopes for today. And they're all famous people. Some of them are infamous people. And we're not going to be able to get to all of the different sides of the conjunction, or the conjunction of the sun and Saturn especially, because there are, how many people do we have? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, 15, how do you like that?
You must have been focusing.
I was just guessing. Everybody knows the first horoscope we're looking at. It's Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And we're looking at this to understand some qualities about the conjunction and to understand a few qualities about Mozart. Now, Mozart was a deeply concentrated individual. He could do miraculous things with his concentration. If he heard a piece of music just once, he was so concentrated that he remembered it forever. In fact, he was very much involved with Freemasonry and was initiated into Freemasonry, but he went to several Catholic masses in which the music was secret. And he heard the music once, and he wrote it all down, and he played it back for him. And they had no choice but to initiate him into their mysteries also. It was that kind of a quality. But the concentration of Mozart is special because it indicates something of the Rosicrucian philosophy. Now, the conjunction of the Sun and Saturn is not strong, but it brings in Mercury. And all three together is the focus of the self through the mind. The Saturn is the focusing agency, and it focuses the attention of the self, and it focuses it on the mind. This is when one planet conjoins another, that's called a revolving conjunction. Now, in this case, the Sun, because it's closer to Mercury, is stronger than Saturn. But what is important here is the concentration. He was able to concentrate his mental attention so that he could read the world of thought. Mozart had what is called in the Rosicrucian philosophy tonal vision, meaning to say when he was focused in the world of thought, he could hear an entire symphony in a fraction of a second. And he describes it as very similar to the way that Max Heindel talks about reading the archetypes, because the archetypes sing themselves to you. They are constantly resonating, and when you focus and you're reading a thought, it sings itself right to you. And this is what Mozart was capable of doing. He demonstrated on numerous occasions that he could take a focus and just concentrate, and then he'd have a symphony. But he had a problem with this, because when you're so concentrated and something is whole, the thought was born whole, and when it's born whole like that, how do you delineate it? And so what happens is there is something that in Jungian psychology we call enantiodromia. And that's a fancy word of saying that if you go too far to one extreme, then the other extreme manifests itself unconsciously. And so what you want to do is to be able to be balanced in your extremes. The spiritual life, in the physical life, you want to be moderate. But in the spiritual life, you want to be extreme, but you want to be balanced in your extremism. For example, if you take Sagittarius, it represents an extremely open-minded, broad-minded quality. So as Rosicrucian students, we want to be very open, we want to be very generous. But at the same time, we have to balance and we have to stay true to the facts. And the facts are represented by Mercury. What happens is if you become extreme in one direction and you are negligent in the other direction, it manifests in ways that you are not in control of it. And what happens with Mozart is when you have the Sun and Saturn, especially the Saturn, in the conjunction, this is a control aspect. And you hate to lose control. So what happened with him is he became so concentrated in the mental focus that he lost some of the big picture in such a way that he became fascinated with randomness. And he loved to gamble. In equivalent money, he would lose as much as $1 million a night gambling because he was just fascinated and he couldn't, you know, because he had the control on one end, he didn't know how to relate to the not control of the other end. What the Zen Buddhists would say, you know, like it all happens. And you try to be in touch with that. And so this is what happened. This is one of the downsides of the conjunction. It makes a person so narrow and so focused that they lose the big picture and they become narrow-minded. If you look in this horoscope, there's a very strong Jupiter, a very strong Pluto and Moon conjunction, and they are in Sagittarius, which is very broad-minded, and they sextile to Jupiter, which is extremely broad-minded, which shows that he could expand his emotions very well. He was a very fluent emotional person. But it was in the mind and in mental, intellectual things that he became so focused that he couldn't control the abstract and he couldn't control the general picture of things. All right, we're going to be real quick about this if we want to be here done in less than an hour. Let's look at the next horoscope. And we'll try to bring out a different side of the Sun conjoined Saturn. We'll say very little about this horoscope because most people are not familiar with the life of this person and they don't know very much about them. Now, a circle is a circle is a circle without end. It has no beginning, it has no end, and for that reason, as we said earlier, it is the symbol of pure spirit. The manifest spirit is in the equilateral triangle, in the mystery of Trinity. Now, where these two circles, or the gyres, come together at this one point is a designated starting point. The beginning of all cycles is with the conjunction. We know this in Rosicrucian philosophy because we do a lot with the new moon. The new moon is the start of a new cycle, and we try to do things that we do in harmony with the cosmos by starting when the moon is going from new to full. At one point, what you do at the start defines everything that is going to happen for the whole cycle. This is a princess of Japan. The famous Emperor Akihito, the one that eventually had to surrender, this is his daughter. She has all of these planets, Jupiter, Uranus, and Pluto, in the 10th house. Pluto and Jupiter especially show that this is a person that had all kinds of power that were available. Now the power planets, the Jupiter and Pluto, are in Earth signs. And the Pluto trines the Moon, which is in another Earth sign. And the Earth signs are signs of form. And when there is a lot of focus in Earth, things are to be done formally. Like with Virgo, there is a liking of formal logic. And with Capricorn, it's like the 10th house, everything has to be formal. You know, this is the grand formal ball, or this is the executive or the president or something like that, being treated with certain types of forms and protocols. When you delineate something, you are formalizing it. And so what we're talking about is bringing things, this is a life that is brought into form by the Saturn element. Delineating maybe something is taking a point and then making another point and another point and another point until we have a line of consciousness we call it. What we're looking at here is that the Sun conjoined Saturn is in Aries. And that means a beginning right at the beginning. But the beginning is also an end. So that when you end one thing, you're starting another. And when you start one thing, you're ending another. This is one point that's defining a cycle and it is defining a circle. And this is a life that is very interesting in that it represents a departure from one way of life to another way of life. This young woman was very, very bright, very well educated, and Aries rules birds. And she became an amateur ornithologist. And so she became focused on that. Now, Aries is a sign that is unlike Capricorn, because Aries likes things a little bit more rough and ready. It likes to go out camping, or it likes things more primitive or something of that nature. And she could not stand the formal world. And her whole life, the defining moment of her whole life is when she became such that she didn't care about the formal life. And she renounced her special privilege in society. And she renounced it, and she married a common man, but most important, she became a professional ornithologist, and she writes books on birds. And this, so the point was, like in the first horoscope, we tried to look at the basic idea of the conjunction as focus. In this case, we are looking at the conjunction, especially the archetypal conjunction of Saturn and the Sun. It we're looking at it as the beginning or end of something, so that the focus defines the whole circle or the whole cycle. All right, let's look at the next horoscope. When you start something, this is called a founding. And this is the horoscope of a founder. This is a man who is he's very old now. He's my age. Actually, he's a little older than I am. This is a founder of something that is called transformational generative grammar. He is a professor of linguistics at Harvard University. And he formed the idea that he thinks in terms of evolution. He doesn't, it's not the kind of evolution we think of. He thinks of an unguided evolution. And he thinks that the brain is evolved in such a way that the grammar of generalization is built right into the brain. And he did studies all over the world to demonstrate the idea that grammar, the elements of grammar and the way things are abstracted into a thing and then a description of a thing and then an action on a thing, he tries to show that this is in all languages of all people. And so he founded this whole school. Now, when the Sun is in the first house, that's usually the sign of somebody who is a self-made person. And his focus and his concentrations on the fundamentals of communication is what he was a founder in. And so his whole life is establishing this. Like if a person is an authority and is recognized by society, that is the 10th house. But if a person is an authority that is self-made and they prove it by their own being, that is what we have with the Sun, Saturn. We know from cosmological astrology, the first period is always the Saturn period. That is when things are founded, and that is the beginning of all concrete manifestation of the spirit, and it is in the world of thought that it becomes concretized. And so what we're talking about here is establishment. Establishment by someone in their character. So like, what does if a prospector is going out and staking a claim, he puts a stake down. He brings things to that one point and he says, this is the beginning of my land. He establishes things. In fact, in all societies, they're going way back, they establish circles relative to a center to do dancing. And that this is their circle of consciousness. And so what we're talking about with the conjunction is the most basic kind of establishment. It is a centralized establishment that is not dispersed. And so what we see that worked in the horoscope of Mozart was a concentration to make a breakthrough into the world of thought. Here we see it as an establishment that is such that very few people ever doubted anything that this person said. And it's only happened in recent years now that people are questioning his establishment, because they have found in Brazil there's a tribe of people that has a language that has no abstraction whatsoever. It's all completely particular. And now, so there's now a younger group of people that are doing their own establishment, and they're establishing not in generalization. Sagittarius in this case is generalization, and what, and then, so this is an establishment of a general idea, and they're trying to do something very differently. Now, this man is also famous for other things. When the Vietnam War came about, he was so appalled by the United States invading and doing what they did in Vietnam that he became a rebel. And he's very famous the world over for having all of these facts, in a strange way, facts that are anti-establishment. But he's very hard to refute in everything that he says. All right, let's look at the next horoscope. As you see what I mean, we're just going very fast and we don't get really a chance to look at anything. Now, we're talking about bringing our consciousness to a point, to a Saturnian point. Consciousness in general is the sun. The sun is everything. Now, when we think of bringing something to a point, we often think of bringing things to a point in space. It's like we put the stake down to establish something, that's a point in space. But it can just as well be a point in time. In the other the other potential. Time and space are potential. Time and space get filled with spirit and matter. Saturn rules points of matter, the basic points of minerals in the mineral kingdom, and Saturn rules points of time. Saturn rules all history. It knows what comes before what. And you know, we know Saturn loves the 10th house in Capricorn. It knows who is above who. It has the status consciousness. But in this case, we're looking at minute points of time. Now, we know that when consciousness gets concentrated, it gets, penetrates more and more deeply. And one of the effects of it is that the vibratory rate gets slowed down. When you concentrate and you get deeper and deeper, things are brought almost to a stop. If it were up to Saturn with its naysaying qualities, it would stop anything and it would stop everything. Now, in this horoscope, we have the Sun conjoined Saturn in Capricorn. So that Saturnine quality of slowing things down is even greater. Now, this person is a famous folk singer, and she's famous for the depth of her voice. Her voice is much deeper than my voice as a male. And, you know, like each of the musical instruments, you know, like when you get way up there, like Mercury blowing, that's like a little piccolo. But when you're in the Saturnine range, you're down in the bass range. And so what we have here is somebody who is very, very deep in her consciousness, someone that can sing from her soul and has this powerful, deep voice. But the Sun and Saturn are in Capricorn, and they're at 9 and 13, but at 11 degrees of Aries, we have Uranus. And that means it is square to those two planets. Now, Saturn likes history. and it likes the past, and it remembers the past. Uranus is just the opposite. It wants everything new. It wants to change everything. It wants everything to be creative. And so as a consequence, there is a struggle in this horoscope of being focused on the old, but new things coming about. Aries especially is sometimes a very faddist sign. It likes to move the latest fad. And this worked out exactly in her chart. As long as she did the traditional folk songs, people loved her. But she kept studying. In this case, Mercury is opposite Pluto, and she kept studying things and studying them more and more, looking for absolute answers. And when she studied things that deeply, new ideas came to her. So suddenly she was taking the traditional folk songs and she was interpreting them in new ways. And it's just like the square. The traditionalists said, this is sacrilege. You're taking all of these, the traditional songs, and you're modernizing them. That's never supposed to be done. On the other hand, the folk people who like things new and who like creativity praised her for extending the boundaries of it all. And so this is a case where by going into the deep, you produce the opposite by going into the tradition further and further back. She studied, goes very deep into musical theory and things like that. It produced not just the knowledge of the old, but it produced an awakening in the new, and then there was a conflict between the new and the old, and that was what the resolution of a lot of her life was. All right.
Well,
yeah, there's some very interesting charts. The spelling on the horoscope, I didn't want to reprint, but it's Pedro Almodovar. There's an L in there. That's Almodovar. Now, we've been talking about Saturn as a planet of time and a planet of maturity. Mm-hmm. And the Sun is a planet that is all about self. So if we're looking about, we're saying that it's identity. If you can point to something, you can identify it. Or if you have two circles that are the same, they are identical. Now, maturity about yourself means that we become more responsible. And so the Sun conjoined Saturn is the hallmark of responsibility. It is somebody who takes things very, very seriously. In our little prayer group, we have two people who have Sun conjoined Saturn, and they're very serious about their spiritual life. Now, we're looking at somebody who is not immature. This is a very famous Spanish filmmaker. His films seem to be quite wild. They're all about love and affection and sexuality, every kind of strange sexuality that you can think of, he has in them. But he tries to show, or he tries to stay conventional, but he's unconventional because he has the Sun conjoined Uranus square to Neptune, and so he has a taste for understanding the perverse. He tries to be very serious, but because the Sun and Saturn are opposite of Jupiter, it turns out to be hilarious. Now what happens with the concentration is that with the concentration he builds up a tension. And when that tension gets relaxed, it's very funny. And his films are, one of his first films was called Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. And it shows you all of the tension and the nervousness, and then it's a relaxation of it, and you laugh and laugh at it. And he's quite a great creator. Now, This is somebody that has been making films for about 25 years. And I don't go to movies anymore, hardly ever. But if there's a film by him, I will always go to it. Because he does beautiful things in his film. Not only that, but he was very humorous. And watching this person's films, compared to any other film director that I've seen, this person matures more than almost any other person, and this is the son, Satter. When you have a history and you learn what works and what doesn't work, especially in terms of compassion, he still deals with sordid things, but he does it in such a way that he's compassionate about the people who have perversities in their life. And it gives you an understanding. It makes you understand that they really are human beings. So this is it would be a good thing if you, the sun Saturn, if you can find authors that have sun Saturn and then watch their books one by one, it shows the maturity. You see, Saturn wants to do things once. Once is enough. And if you learn, the Saturnine people, especially Sun Saturn people, they learn their lessons. They don't have to be told the same thing over again and again. They have one experience and they understand that and they move on. People like myself, Saturn is my weakest planet. I make the same dumb mistakes over again and again and again. I could benefit from having that kind of Saturn. All right, let's look at the last horoscope. This is to show you just the opposite. Immaturity. There's a big revolving conjunction here that involves half the planets in the horoscope. Mars conjoins Saturn, and Saturn conjoins the Sun, and the Sun conjoins Venus, and Venus conjoins Jupiter. And Jupiter conjoins Mercury. So that's a revolving conjunction. Now this is, in this case, it's like the beginning of a cycle, or so it seems, because it indicates immaturity. Venus is conjoined the Sun, and that shows this person sees herself as a being of love. But because Saturn is involved, there's an insecurity about love. But Saturn is conjoined to Mars, and that tries to repress all of the martial energy. But when you try to repress the energy, all you do is concentrate it and make it stronger. So what you basically have here is this Sun-Saturn conjunction between the Mars and Venus. The Sun-Saturn tries to be mature and responsible. Her parents were both very strong fundamentalist right-wing Christians, very fundamentalistic. And she was brought up to be a really nice, good girl. And when she was 34 years old, she was a school teacher. And she fell in love with a junior high school student that was a few days before his 13th birthday. They had a sexual union. And within the next half year, they united sexually 200 times, and she fell in love with him. And what happened is it all came out, and it was scandalized. And she got pregnant, is what happened. And her parents, who are totally against abortion and everything else, wanted her to abort the child. And what happened is, she was convicted of rape, and she was told to stay away from the boy, but she couldn't do it. He was 13 years old now, and he was irresistible, and they were caught together again, so she was sent to prison. And she had the child while she was in prison, And then she was released and put on probation for good behavior, and then they caught the two of them together again, and so she was sent back to prison, and she served her whole prison sentence and was released. And by then he turned 21, and when he turned 21, he said to the judge, lift the ban on my senior, and they got married. And they're still married, and there's at last call, they're still contemplating having a third child together. The point we're trying to get at here is that you are compelled to do things with the Sun and Saturn. There are some things you cannot resist. If you have an insecurity about sexuality, or if you have an insecurity about love, you will be brought into that and forced into that until you get the experience. The maturity in the cosmos is something that is brought about by Saturn. And Elmenbacher teaches us in studies in astrology, he says that people who have Saturn, Sun afflictions, but especially the conjunction, are people that are brought back to have you must do this kind of condition. Usually it's people that in past lives have been playing around and haven't really been serious about spiritual growth. And so they're brought back with the Sun and Saturn, and they're forced into doing things. And there is a statement in folk language that describes the Sun-Saturn conjunction in relation to society. It is damned if you do and damned if you don't. You can't get it right anyway, but you're compelled to focus harder and harder and harder on it. And that's what her life has been. Her entire life has been being forced to see through her insecurities and through her illusions and delusions, because all of those planets in Aquarius square Neptune. So there's a lot of delusion there. And so she's brought into this again and again. And it's right out there for the whole world to see. She can't deny it. And she couldn't, even when she was famous or infamous for this relationship, she couldn't move anywhere without there being cameramen. But she had to do the lesson. And that is one of the things of Sun and Saturn. You've got to be centered somewhere, and the Sun conjoined Saturn, make sure that you are conjoined somewhere, that you're focused somewhere. Now, unfortunately, this is all that we have time for, and it's very fast, and it's not very, not going into a whole lot of meaningful things. We haven't had a chance, for example, to look at the large and the small, which is with the Saturn conjunction with the Sun. Nor have we had the horoscope of somebody who makes a great breakthrough in life, which is what the Sun conjoined Saturn can be. Nor have we worked with a horoscope that is somebody that is what we would call a control freak. But those are all possibilities. This is just to give you some idea of what the conjunction is like by looking at the classic Sun-Saturn conjunction that is the epitome of all conjunctions and seeing it work in different horoscopes. And this is something that should be an introduction to you to find all the horoscopes that you have in your collection and look at the Sun conjoined Saturn horoscopes, and it should be able to give you the beginning of an insight to how to go at them. Now, we have a tradition that in Rosicrucian summer schools, we all end up every class with the Rosicrucian prayer. And in case you don't know the Rosicrucian prayer, these are printouts of it.
Can't go because I'm going to work with someone. I have to work today.
Yeah, there's plenty. Just leave them on the chair. There'll be different people here for different talks. All right. Oh, God.
We increase our love for thee, that we may serve thee better from day to day. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
If there are any questions. Yes.
Is the filmmaker the one that did Bolver? B-O-L-V-E-R? Did he also do that?
I don't know that. I haven't seen the most recent one, but the second most recent one is called Bad Education. And it's a story of a young man